Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
This episode is the best yet, in our opinion. Kevin Drake and I didn't know where this was going to go, but this one took its own turn, and I think that you guys are in for a really good 35-40 minutes of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. If you guys have ever listened to the show before, this one is not going to be the same as a normal podcast. I think this one has a lot of great messages about how Drake, Kevin, and I feel and live our lives every day now, being part of the Hawkeye Brethren legacy. And it has a lot of stuff that fans need to hear. If you've ever shared this podcast with anyone, let this be the one that you share. Roll the music.
I'm trying to stay composed. I'm trying not to lose my mind. But I am so fucking tired of losing to these assholes. I swear to God, I would castrate myself if it meant I could sew my own nuts on the bull and bring that sumbitch back to Iowa City. I cannot take losing to these assholes. This is episode 63, sorry, and you're guaranteed in for belligerence.
Hi, Kevin.
How you doing, Tyler?
I'm doing great.
Are you doing great?
No, I'm actually not. I'm not.
No, you feel like me. You just won't express it the same way.
Yeah. I'd say it's fair. It's frustrating to lose football games. Frustrating. I want to start with that word. Frustrating. I think frustrating comes from, I don't know. I think the word frustrating, a lot of fans use that word. I think I've seen it a lot over Twitter over the past 20 hours, 12 hours or whatever.
I think frustrating is a bit, and it's obviously, it's kind of a small thing, but frustrating is when you're on the team and you lose the game because you have, you know, you had a part of it in it. I think disappointing, maybe from a fan's perspective, is a better word, because frustrating, frustrating sounds like you, like, I don't know. It's a lot of the fans, you know what? We're a mediocre program. You know, you just check Iowa Twitter. We're a mediocre program. 8 wins isn't enough. And, you know, bowl games every year, just it's boring and stale.
Which in reality, like, 8 games isn't really enough. We want to win them all. And when we went into the Penn State game, we wanted to win it. We went into this game, we wanted to win it. Like, we were right there at the end. So I can understand where they're coming from. It's just some of the disappointment, and it's just like over magnified. And when people are breaking it down into Brian Ferentz is an absolute problem and just can't get it done, period. He sucks at play calling. I mean, that's wrong. Nate Stanley can't play quarterback. That's wrong. It's just there's so many over-exaggerations of these people's feelings, and they just puke it all over the internet and tag me in it every single time. And I just sit in my house and think, wow, you fucking guys are stupid.
I think the problem with Twitter specifically is you've got 240 characters to get out what you want to say. And 240 characters, 240 pages of a book with little words and no pictures would not be enough to describe and explain all of the details that go into winning a football game in every aspect, and how the dynamics of every single part of a team and an organization work together to put together a W on a Saturday. And when you distill it down to a 240-character tweet, it gets very black and white for some people. It's all Brian's fault. It's all Nate's fault. Our play calling sucks. Our O-line sucks. It's one problem, and it's all of that problem. And if we fixed that problem specifically, we'd be the best team in the country, or we'd win all our games. And it's just not that simple. And I think that's where the actual frustration comes from, a former guy who's been inside the program and knows that it's not just one thing, or even 10 things, or even 100 things. It's a million things that go into it. And that's what makes it hard for me, because the fans just think it's so easy. Oh, just get a new guy calling the plays. If we just had one of those SEC guys calling the plays, oh, we'd be winning.
And listen, man, like I can put it together in my mind a little bit, because it is so recent that we went 12-0 and they've tasted that success, and they know that this program is like, well, they've done it. Like, they must have the blueprint. Something's going wrong, you know. And golly, it sucks to be on a losing streak. Like, it sucks so bad to not get it done late. And obviously the fans are right that we aren't a great team, because great teams do get it done late. Great teams find ways to win games. Like, the teams that get talked about are the ones that just got it done in crunch time. So maybe this Iowa team isn't a great team and the fans are right. But the overreaction that they're shit, and like, people are tweeting at me like I give a shit that, oh, they're not going to win another game and this, that, and the other, and they're going to go to the toilet bowl, whatever. I mean, dude, just stop, like, stop putting my name in it, because you're just getting laughed at. That's a laughable thing to say when we've lost 3 games to 3 very good opponents. And I mean, that's all I got to say, really.
Kevin, I want to bring you in, and I want to get your initial thoughts on kind of everything Drake and I just talked about.
Do I have to?
Yeah, you have to. You signed up for the podcast. You literally signed up for the podcast. You signed.
Did I sign a contract? Because I haven't seen any of my payment yet. Let's see. Same. So, I mean, I kind of with you on that Twitter stuff, you know, when Nate and Brian are just, you know, easy targets where, you know, it goes a lot deeper than that. It, you know, if you feel like the offense isn't performing, oh, it's obviously the quarterback's fault. Oh, it's obviously the OC's fault. Shit, man, I don't know. It's like you said, there's so much, it's such an integral, I don't even know what I'm trying to say, man.
I know exactly what you're
still drunk. He could be drunk.
I'm going to lead this with a couple of the things that have come up. I'm going to let the Twitter conversations that I've had lead this, and there's a few spots that I want to brush over. Now, before this, I want to say to the fans, and Drake just kind of pointed it out, Iowa football this year, the Iowa Hawkeyes of 2019, through 9 games have proven that they are not a great football team. Not a great football team. Now, what does that mean? They are not one of the best 15 or 20 teams in the country. They're close. There's a decent chance when the rankings come out in about 5 hours that we're still going to be in the top 25. And I'll talk about that in a second. But they've proven that they're not a great football team. Does not being a great football team all of a sudden mean that we are a mediocre football team, that we are an average football team? Is not great average. And I think that's where a lot of the fans on Twitter are starting to, and I get it, you're just a fan on Twitter, you want to say your piece because your 63 followers need to know that you are mad the Hawkeyes didn't win. I get it, man. I get it. All right? And when you send out that tweet, it feels so good. And you feel like, man,
I got back at the player. The player really caused me all that frustration, and they did it on purpose, and they wanted me to get so fucking pissed, and here I am, and I'm pissed, and I want everybody to know it.
Yes. And now, because I tweeted my thought out to the world, my 63 followers are going to see it, and they're going to know that they follow me, and I share the same opinion as them, that I know what's going on. And I have all the answers, and us on the outside, we all know. And it's just so frustrating as a fan because we can't do anything about it. We can't get new guys in the program. God dang it.
And listen, man, we're frustrated too. We own the frustration. I'm here. I'm losing my mind in frustration because we can't get the bull back in Iowa City. We can't claim the kings of the West. We're the little fucking brother of the West, and I hate being the little brother. We're not the little brothers in the state of Iowa. We're trying to be the bullies of the Big Ten. Like, we're trying to earn that nickname that this team used to have. We're not trying to claim nicknames like the Black Shirts, like Nebraska does, when these teams aren't even close to what they used to be. We're trying to regain the status of the bullies of the Big Ten and just come out and be the team that nobody wants to play. And we're the fucking little brothers of the West right now. And that's just the reality of it, because Wisconsin has our number. We are owning this frustration. But what I'm trying to tell you right now in a very brash manner is that the microscopic exact things that you think are the one detail that is causing this team to fail, and it's our quarterback. He just stinks. He can't play. Look at what Nate Stanley did late in that game yesterday when the game was all on him, got a little bit of time back there, set up, made some great throws, made plays. The offense looked great. And then on the goal line, man, I want to bring this up as like a super important point. Your quarterback, number 4, Big Dick Nate, laid everything on the line on the final play. I guarantee you Nate got knocked out on that play. He took it as hard as he could in the head. As soon as he popped up, his eyes were fucking closed. His arms were like a little bit shaky. Like, he gave everything he could on that play into a linebacker, two linebackers, to try and get that yard, man. That's the quarterback you want with the ball in his hand. Things aren't going great. We're not winning every single game. We're not going to be Big Ten champs, man. It's just not going to be that year, all right? But man, this guy can really play quarterback. He has a heart of a fucking lion. And you just got to put more respect on his name, man. Quit spitting on this kid. It's just disrespectful and not fair.
So we'll put Drake.
And so back to the point of the beginning of that is you tweet your frustration and it's out there. And now we're just an 8-4 football team. We're only going to get 9 wins this year. We're only going to get 8 wins this year. We're a mediocre program. We're a stale program. These are all things I've heard. We are just another team. I want you guys to do some serious research, those who really feel this way. I know a lot of you will listen to this. It's Monday when this comes out, and especially those who don't listen right away. It's a full 2 days, maybe 3-4 days after the game. Your initial, possibly intoxicated emotions derived from the game have calmed and settled. I want you to get on the internet, and I want you to look up the final standings of last year, and then I want you to take away the bowl game wins from all the teams that actually had a bowl win, because those don't count, including Iowa, which puts them at 8-4 last year. And I want you to actually see how many teams won 8 games during the regular season. Now I want you to go back and do that over the last 10 seasons, right? 2012 was a bad year. 2014, we got 7. But I want you to go back and see how many teams over a 10-year span have averaged the same amount of wins that Iowa has. And I get it. I get it, man. Alabama averages 10.2 wins a year, or like 10.8 wins a year. I get it. And that's not what we're shooting for. I understand that that's not the goal. That's not what I'm saying either. Just because we do average 8 wins, 7.7 wins a year, that doesn't mean that's what we should be shooting for. And I promise, as we've told you many times before, it's not. Every year, the goal is to win every game, win the West, go to the Big Ten Championship, compete for a championship, and then make a great bowl game. But 8-4 being stale. Here's what I think, and I want to get your 2 thoughts on it, because I know the people don't like hearing me talk. They want to hear your thoughts. What do you guys think about this idea that I have, that the Hawks have literally lulled our fans into this? We've almost done it to ourselves, because we've been such a consistent program over the years, and we've had no dips almost. Our worst year was 2012 in the past decade. I don't even remember how many games they won. 4 games, maybe.
Yep, 4-8.
And other than that, we win at least half of our games or more every year, usually closer to 8 or 9 by the time you get a bowl game win. And I think our fans have been spoiled. And I realize that that's going to stir up some fire in some of you guys. We're spoiled with 8 wins a year. Okay. You guys have been spoiled by such a consistency that 8-4 is now bad. 8-4 is now average. And I think you guys, if you really sit down and look at it, it's not average. And again, that's not what we're shooting for. I had someone tell me that it's just frustrating not to see us in the Big Ten Championship every year. My guy. And maybe, and we texted before the podcast, Drake and I. I said, maybe we're just fucking homers, you know? Played for the program. Maybe we're just blind to it. But I think that we have a decent platform to stand on here and say, if your expectation is the Big Ten Championship every year, you need to reevaluate your expectations. I'm not saying that we shouldn't shoot for 9-10 wins a year. Now, go and look how many teams finish with 9-10 wins a year. You won't find many on average. Are we capable of winning that almost every year? Yes. But go and look and see how many teams have proved such consistency. Do you want to be Michigan State? Michigan State's been in the Big Ten title game three times since the inception. But would you like to be Michigan State right now? They let Illinois come back and beat them from a 28-3 deficit yesterday. Do you want to have those peaks and valleys? These are the questions that I'm seriously asking to the Iowa fan base. Do you want to be Nebraska? They fired a coach that was, you know, winning about 8 or 9 games every year. And look where they're at now. Look what that does to a program. I understand that it would be nice to every third year get a 10 or 11 win season and have one of those years we had in 2015. I get it. As a fan, that would be really fucking cool, man. But at a macro level, when you think that you're mediocre and you get bored with winning games, just look at the Nebraska program. Bo Pelini, you know, people have your opinions on him and how he was as a coach. He won fucking 8-9 games a year at Nebraska. Wasn't good enough. They fire him. What have they done since? The programs that do that, the people out there who are thinking that we should fire Ferentz because he wins us 8 games a year are asking for us to peak and valley like no tomorrow. And we'll be, and if we do that, there's a better chance than not that we would look like Nebraska in a few years. We would try to bring in a new coach, a whole new system. The guys would be playing for now a guy that they didn't get recruited by. It'd be a whole new dynamic of the team. That guy would start to bring in his type of players. Those players wouldn't mesh. You'd have a coach that is talking about how, and Scott Frost has done this, how once he gets his guys in there, once everybody is his guy, then they'll be, you're asking for a roller coaster. And I get it. Those years at the top of the roller coaster, they feel really, really good. 10 wins feels good. An 11th win in a bowl game feels great. But what would you be saying? What would you be saying in those years right now where Nebraska's at? 4 wins last year? Or 6 wins last year? I don't remember even. Gonna get maybe 5 wins this year? Then you'd be... Are you asking for another coach 3 years later? What's the solution then? Do we just wait for that peak? Is that what you want as a fan? Do you as a fan want us to win 10 games every fourth year and then win 6 the other years? I don't know. I don't have the answer.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline, wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
What do you guys think?
We got to get Kevin's thoughts.
I mean, that was a really good monologue, Kloof, and you know, you've gotten really good at public speaking. I don't know if you can really call this public speaking, but
I was thinking the same thing, Kevin. I was giving him props the whole time in my head.
Yeah, you know, you talked here about like, yeah, I know people don't want to hear me talk. Like, honestly, that was the most intrigued I've ever been by you talking on this podcast, dude. That was well done, man. Yeah, so if we want to take a step away from the game and look at a macro level, I mean, I agree with everything you said, Kloof. So we win. We are a model of consistency. We win 7, 8, 9 games a year. And it's frustrating because those 4 games that we do lose a year are usually so close. And that's what I think the fans are upset about, like, you know, a field goal loss there, a touchdown loss there. They can taste it. We gave them a whole fucking serving in 2015 of what you know, a great season is. And when you go 8-4 and you lose those four games by an average of 4.5 points, they can taste it. They can just see, oh, but we're so close. We can win those games. We should win those games, they think. And they forget that those games are against some of the best teams in the country. Wisconsin's a top 10 program. Penn State's a top 10 program. Michigan is a top 15 program. You know, could we have won all three of those games? Absolutely. Absolutely, we can win all three of those games. We have won those types of games in the past. 2015 Wisconsin, we won that game. That was a good football team that we found a way to win. We're not finding ways to win the close games against good teams this year. And that's the difference. That's the key difference. Can we win those games? Absolutely. That's the difference. Should we win those games?
Sometimes.
You know, sometimes. You got to remember that our staff is going up against a staff that's being paid millions of dollars and has 85 guys on scholarship too. Nationally recruited all over the country. Cherry picked, find the best team that they possibly can too. They put in hundreds of hours of film work, practice time, and weight room time in the offseason too. The margin of victory at Iowa, the margin for error, I mean, is so slim. So slim against those, you know, quote unquote, blue blood programs. So slim. We have to be perfect.
Listen, men, there's some guys that look like us playing for the Hawks right now, and that's why we got to be perfect.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we've done a better job of recruiting people so that we don't have to play three washed up fucks like us. But still, we have to be fundamentally sound every single play. We cannot have guys out of gaps. We cannot miss tackles. We cannot have blown protection assignments. We cannot drop balls. We cannot lose the turnover game. You know, and we didn't lose a turnover game yesterday, but those other two losses we did. So I think when you look at why the fans are so upset, it goes back to that. Oh, 8 wins every year. You know, we beat the teams we should. We haven't beaten the teams that, you know, we have to beat if we want to compete for a Big Ten championship. And we have competed with them, but we just haven't beaten them. And that's what's frustrating. As you know, we're fans too now. We're not players anymore. We're fans. And it's frustrating for us. It was frustrating watching that game. You know, when it was 21-6 going into the fourth quarter, I'm like, you know, tomorrow when we record this podcast, I'm not really going to have too many positive things to say. And then they go off and, you know, the offense finds some life. Nate Stanley starts playing like an absolute savage. We claw back into that game. And I'm like, okay, you know, these boys, they have some fight in them. They have some fight in them. That is a positive thing I can say. They didn't quit. They, you know, they're down 21-6 in a hostile environment in Camp Randall. Like, a lot of teams can roll over. And then, you know, especially against a team that's running the ball, and just, you know, a lot of teams can roll over there and just roll over and die and head back to where the fuck they came from. And, you know, but, you know, they came out, they kept fighting. The effort's there. The execution is not. Somebody's got to come up with the big plays. We're not coming up with the big plays. If we want to look at a closer look at the actual game, this one's not on Nate Stanley. It's not on Brian Ferentz. It's not on the offense. If you told me as a defensive player that we're going to get 22 points against the Wisconsin Badgers, one of the best defenses in the country, I'm like, that's enough. We'll do our job.
That's my mindset as a defensive player. You give me 22 points, that is more than enough. We got it from here. That is my mindset. That was Josie Jewell's mindset. That was Nate Budgett's mindset. That was Jordan Lomax's mindset. That was all the great defensive players throughout our time at Iowa football's mindset. 22 points, more than enough. We got this, boys. Defense didn't get done yesterday. Not on the offense. It's on the defense. Phil Parker will tell you that. Seth Wallace will tell you that. KB will tell you that. Anyone on that defense will tell you that. That's on us.
Kev, that got my heart rate up a lot, boys.
I think I'm going to cry.
That's on us, man. You know, Wisconsin ran the ball for 300 yards.
I was ready to run through my TV to get off a fucking block. Man,
dude. We had D linemen out of gaps. We started bringing some pressure. So when we had to start stunting our D linemen, we didn't get in gaps. Boom, there's 12 yards right there. Our linebackers struggled to get off blocks versus their massive offensive line, which is a good offensive line. Always has been.
One of the best.
At one point, you gotta sack up, get off a block, and make a play. When we do make contact with Taylor, he drags us for another 3 yards. Coach Doyle said every time we played this fucking team, the more physical team would win. Wisconsin was the more physical team yesterday.
Which is heartbreaking to say, because that's what we pride ourselves on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think I said on Thursday, turnovers would be huge. Time of possession would be huge. We won the turnover battle 2-1. But that one that we gave up, you know, that killed a lot of momentum. I think it was like 7-6 the time when we had the fumbled snap. But time of possession, I think they had that ball for 38 minutes. Defense couldn't get off the field at times. And it's hard to win when the offense only has the ball for a third of the game. Hard to win when your defense is on the field for 40 minutes.
It's hard to score points, man. You only get the ball 20 minutes. You don't have that much time, or you don't have that many possessions to work with.
100%, man. So I tell you, if there's one thing that the football program, the Iowa football program about, is good at, it's owning your mistakes. The defense is going to meet today, and they're going to close off the half of the team room. You know, Brian's going to start talking his thing. Phil's going to be quiet for about 4 minutes. Be like, boys, we didn't get the job done. We didn't get the job done. They're going to go over our goals, you know, yards per rush, passes per yards per pass attempt, turnovers, points. And he's going to be like, you know what? We got some of our goals, but we didn't get the most important one. We didn't get the win. So none of it even fucking matters. They're going to go off in their individual meetings, you know, and each one of them, in each of their position groups, are going to take 30 seconds to a minute to reflect with their position groups. Like, we didn't get done. What can we do better? The coaches ask the players, what can I do better to help make you better? The players should ask the coaches after meetings, what do I need to get better at? Help me. Help me be the best player I can be. Help me be the best coach I can be.
I definitely agree with what Kevin's saying, man, because self-reflection goes a long way. You can try and make excuses, or you can just look yourself directly in the mirror and say, like, I wasn't good enough and I will be better. And if every player in that building does that, and the coaches as well, and they just keep attacking the season with everything they have, there's a lot of upside left in this season and in this team, because they show that they have it in them.
They absolutely do. And you talk about self-reflection, man. 2017, I couldn't sleep nights after losses. Couldn't fucking sleep. You know why? It's because I was a captain of that fucking team. And it's on me first. It's on me to make sure the guys are ready. It's on me to make sure that special teams unit is perfect every fucking kick. Whenever there is something that went wrong, I owned it. That's my fault. I should have helped him out. He's a freshman. He doesn't fucking know. That's on me. You know, and I just hope the boys that they take this and they go.
I hope they listen to this.
They go out and they take this hurt because it fucking hurts. Every fucking loss hurts. You think your tweets hurt them? They don't give a fuck about your tweets. They don't give a fuck about your tweets. They don't give a fuck what you say about Coach Ferentz. They don't give a fuck what you say about Brian. They don't give a fuck what you say about Nate. They don't give a fuck about any of you. They love you for your support. That we love when you come out to games. We love that you support us. But we don't give a shit what you guys say on Twitter because we only care about the 105 guys in the locker room and the 20 coaches. That's it. That's all that matters. You think KF cares what you think that we should fire him? He gets offers from the NFL every fucking year. He doesn't need Iowa. Iowa needs KF.
Iowa needs KF.
So these boys, you know, we can still win 10 games this year. I think we should win 10 games this year. We have a hot team coming from Minneapolis and they want the fucking pig. The pig's been in our building since 2015. You know, if these guys really have some balls, we're going to find out this week. We're going to find out this week. That's my monologue.
That was an insane monologue out of Kev.
He went and one-upped me.
Wowza. This podcast has been a heavyweight fight.
Kevin touched on it. Those guys are going to walk into the complex today, and they carry the burden of that loss. All right. They don't all see the stuff in social media, but they hear it. Stuff gets around. They know kind of the narrative. They carry the burden. They're out there winning games for the state, for their families, for the program. They're representing their hometowns, some of the hometowns that you guys live in. Some of those guys are the guys that you used to watch on Friday nights. And now you're upset because we can only win 8 games a year. I want to leave you guys with a few things. I'll let the others say their piece in a second. LSU beat Alabama yesterday for the first time since 2011.
At Alabama.
You know what their fans were tweeting after games?
Fire Saban.
Fire Nick Saban. Dude could walk into the College Football Hall of Fame today. Fire Nick Saban. He's lost it. He doesn't have it anymore.
Nick Saban may win. Nick Saban may win a presidential race, and you're trying to fire him.
Would you, as a fan base, as an Iowa fan base, would you guys like to be LSU? Would you guys like their wins? Would you guys like their schedule over the next, you know, their resume they put out over the last decade? I hear a lot. I heard a lot about, well, we just can't beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin's got our number. And you're right. You're right. But that doesn't mean that we're a bad program or a mediocre program. LSU's a pretty goddamn good program. They're going to compete for a national championship this year, I think. And they haven't beat a team in their own conference, in their own side of the conference, for 8 years. So, now there were some other things I was going to say. This one took a different turn. I hope you share this with whoever needs to hear it. And I hope you know that after you send out those 240 characters, you've released your burden and you can go back to your job and worry about other stuff for the week. These guys carry that with them for the rest of the week, the rest of the day, the rest of the season, and as you hear from us three, the rest of their lives. I hope you guys understand at home the the veracity of investment.
We put our lives into this shit, man. We make this our lives. We entertain you guys because we love the game so much that we don't care what happens to ourselves. We just want to play with our brothers. And that's all we've ever known, and that's all we've ever done. Man, these guys, they wanted to win the game. They put their whole lives into winning the game. They came up a little bit short. I promise you that you guys are going to see a team come out next Saturday at home with a whole lot of heart trying to get another win. And you just got to take it easy on them, man. These guys are truly putting their heart and soul into this, and you can see it on the field. And I believe in them to get it turned around, and you just got to keep the faith.
If they don't win, and this is my favorite one, we'll finish on this. A few of them say, "Well, we play a slow game plan. We play to kick field goals. We play to stay in the game." I can promise you, from three guys who have been inside the complex, that those ideas or notions never even enter the psyche or the preconceived ideas of any player or coach. Every time you have the ball, you play to score the football in the end zone. Every time you line up against another opponent, you play to beat that opponent. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Hope you guys have a good week. Hope you guys enjoyed this podcast.
That's all we got. Hawked by a fucking million. Walk-ons out.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.